1. Some people might have considered it boring work to select a new trade expedition. To Rissen, it was a thrilling chase. Yes, she did it sitting in a room surrounded by stacks of papers, but she felt like a hunter all the same. Among these reports hid so many interesting tidbits, details of goods for sale, rumors of ports with needs that the war was making difficult to fulfill. Somewhere among all of this minutiae was the perfect opportunity for her crew. She sorted through it like a scout, creeping through the underbrush, quiet and careful, seeking the perfect line of attack. Plus, diving into something so involved distracted her from other worries. Unfortunately, as soon as she thought that, Rissen couldn't help glancing at Cheery Cheery, covered in carapace with large membranous wings. The Larkin ordinarily spent her days pestering Rissen for food or otherwise getting into trouble. But today, like so many recently, the Larkin was curled up, sleeping at the far end of the long table near Rissen's pot of grass from Shinovar. Cheery Cheery had grown to roughly a foot long from her snout to the base of her tail, which extended another 15 inches. She was big enough that Rissen needed 2 hands to carry her. The Larkin cut an impressive profile with her pointed mandibles and predator's eyes. But these days, her normally brown-violet shell had whitened to an almost chalky color. Too white. This wasn't a simple molt. Something was wrong. Rissen slid along her bench. In the past, she'd preferred a tiny office, set off from others. She now thought she'd done that unconsciously because she'd wanted to hide away. No more of that. She now had a large office in which she'd commissioned a variety of furniture changes. Though she'd lost the use of her legs in her accident 2 years ago, her injury wasn't as far up along her spine as other people she'd written to. Rissen could sit on her own, though doing so strained her muscles unless she had a backrest to lean against. Even then, she felt it was good practice to sit and strengthen her muscles. Instead of a chair or a series of them, she preferred long benches with high backs, which she could slide along. She'd ordered them built along the various long tables in the office, which also had a large number of windows. It felt so open and free now. She found it remarkable she'd ever preferred something much smaller and darker. She reached the end of the bench, near Cheery Cheery's nest of blankets. Rissen set down her pen and plucked a diamond sphere from the nearby goblet, then nudged it over to Cheery Cheery. It glowed brightly, inviting the Larkin to feast on its stormlight. Cheery Cheery only cracked a silver eye and barely stirred. A few anxiety spren, like twisting black cross shapes, appeared around Rissen. Storms. The animal doctors hadn't been able to offer much aid. They guessed she had a disease, but said that diseases were very individualized to a species. And Cheery Cheery was the sole member of her species any of them had ever seen. Trying not to let the worry crush her, Rissen left the sphere near Cheery Cheery's mouth, then forced herself to return to her hunt. She'd already sent a request via span read to someone she thought could help with Cheery Cheery. There wasn't anything more Rissen could do until he replied. So she scooted along her bench to resume her work. Then, however, she realized she'd left her pen. She began to scoot back to fetch it. Immediately, Nickley bounded out of his position near the doorway and scrambled to grab the pen for her. Before she could arrive, the overeager man had the tool proffered. Rissen sighed. Nickley was her new head porter, the man who carried her between locations when she needed help. He was from somewhere in the western Makabaki region, and though his Thalen was good, he'd had trouble finding work. He stood out, with his face and arms covered in white tattoos. He was eager to keep his job, but while she appreciated initiative, "Thank you, Nickly," she said, taking the pen. "But please wait until I ask for help before rendering it."
"Oh," he said. He bowed. "Sorry."
"It's all right," she said, waving for him to retreat to the side of the room. His attitude wasn't uncommon. When she'd explained the benches for her office, the initial response had been confusion.
"But why?"
the carpenter's foreman had asked. "Ah, to be free of the but why." To everyone else, her actions seemed odd. She was a trade master with her own ship and crew. She could order servants to fetch her anything she needed, and she did need help now and then. The thing was, she didn't always need help. It was a lesson she herself had been forced to learn, so she didn't blame Nickly for the mistake. She shook off the minor irritation and refocused on her task, trying to recapture her excitement. This would be her second voyage as a ship owner. Her first, completed 2 weeks ago, had been a direct back-and-forth trade deal that had let her and the crew grow accustomed to one another. It had gone fine. Oh, the profits had been good, and the crew appreciated that. The deals she negotiated were their livelihood. Yet there was something about the sailors and their captain that Rissen hadn't yet figured out. Some hesitance to engage with her. Perhaps they were simply accustomed to Vestim and not Rissen, as her ways were slightly different from her Bapsk's. Or maybe they wanted a voyage more engaging, more rewarding than such a simple trip. She sifted through her options, eventually settling on 3 different trade offers. Any of the 3 could be lucrative, but which to select? She mulled it over for a time, then wrote out a list of pros and cons to each deal, as Vestim had taught her. Eventually she rubbed her temples, her eyebrow jewelry tinkling softly, and decided to give it a few minutes. Instead, she reached for some span read communications that had come in recently, from women around the world who, like her, had lost the use of their legs. Talking with them was exciting and invigorating. They felt so many of her own emotions and were eager to share with her things they'd learned. Mura, an Azish woman, had designed several interesting devices to help in daily life, demonstrating marvelous creativity. Hooks and rings, with items hanging on pegs, to allow for ready access. Specialized hoops, wires, and curved rods to aid in dressing herself. Reading through the latest letters, she couldn't help but be encouraged. She had once felt so isolated. Now she realized there were many people who, despite being strangely invisible to the world at large, faced her same challenges. Their stories invigorated her, and with their suggestions in hand, Rissen had ordered changes to her ship. A fixed seat and sunshade up on the quarterdeck, near the helm station. Changes to her cabin to make moving around and dressing easier. During the ship's time in port, the carpenters were doing as she'd asked, yet there'd been so many confused looks, and that same awful question. But why? Why not stay behind and let an underling do the in-person negotiations? She could negotiate via span read for the true contract. Why did she want to station up on the quarterdeck rather than making the voyage comfortable in her cabin? Why ask about a pulley system to get herself up and down from the quarterdeck when there were porters who could carry her? Why? Why do you want to live, Rissen? Why do you want to better your situation? She scanned the drawings that Mura had sent her. It was a recent design, done by an ardent in Yakeved, for a different kind of wheeled chair. Rissen used the common type,
with small wheels on the rear legs. It needed a porter who could tip the chair back, like she was in a reverse wheelbarrow, and push her where she needed to go. The design had been used for centuries, but here was something new. A chair with large wheels you could move yourself with your hands. She'd need to have one of these commissioned. It wouldn't be of much use on a ship, and the streets of Thalen City were probably too rough, with too many steps. But if only she could get from room to room in her own house, so many things would change. She wrote a reply to Moora, then revisited her three possible trips, weighing them. A shipment of fish oil, some rugs, or some water barrels. All three were just so mundane. Her ship, the Wandersail, had been built for grander things. Granted, with the war, even simple trips were now dangerous, but she'd been trained by the best in the business to search for the opportunities no one else would take. "Search for the need," Vestim had always taught her. "Don't be a barnacle simply leeching money where you can, Rissen. Find the unmet desire." She decided to start over, but was interrupted by a quiet knock at her outer door. She looked up with surprise. She'd not been expecting company. Nickley, after glancing for her approval, moved out into the antechamber to answer the knock. A smiling man entered her office a second later. Rissen dropped her papers in shock. The Reshi man had deep, tan skin, with his hair in two long braids down over his shoulders. Talik wore a traditional Reshi wrap and tasseled overshirt, with his chest bare. She knew from their 2 years of communication that he generally wore one of several fine Thalen suits when traveling. When he put on his traditional clothing, it was to deliberately remind people where he was from. Seeing him left her speechless. He lived thousands of miles away from her. How was he here? She stammered, searching for what to say.
"Ah, so now that you're a powerful ship owner," he said, "you have no further words for one such as me? I guess I'll be off then."
He said it with a widening grin, however. "Get in here and sit down," she said, scooting down the table toward the far end, where it wasn't so cluttered with papers. She waved for him to sit in a chair across the long table from her.
"How on Roshar did you get here so quickly? I wrote to you only 3 days ago."
"We were already in Azimir," he explained, settling down. "The king wants to meet this Dalinar Kolin and see these knights radiant for himself."
"The king left Relunar?" Rissen asked. She felt her jaw drop.
"Strange times," Talik said. "With nightmares walking the world, and the Vorin peoples uniting under one banner, an Alethi one no less, it was time."
"We aren't under an Alethi banner," she said. "We are a united coalition. Here, let me pour you some tea."
She took her grabbing stick and used it to hook the teapot by the handle to drag it across the table toward them. Talik, who had been so stern when they'd first met so long ago, leaped to his feet to help. He took the teapot and poured two cups. She was grateful, and also frustrated. Not being able to walk was annoying, and that emotion people seemed to understand. But few understood the sense of embarrassment she felt, despite knowing she shouldn't, at being a burden. While she appreciated the concern people showed for her, she worked so hard to be able to do things on her own. When people accidentally undercut that, it became more difficult to ignore the part of her that whispered lies, that told her that because she was less capable in a few areas, she was worthless in general. She was doing better about that lately. She didn't have Shamespren hanging around these days, but she still wanted to find the right way to explain she wasn't some child who needed to be coddled.
Gods far and near,
Talik said as he handed her a cup, then sat back down.
I can't believe how the time passes. It's been, what, 2 years since you first visited us? Since your accident? Feels like only a few months ago.
Feels like an eternity for me, Rissen said, sipping her tea and stretching her other hand out on the desk toward Chiri Chiri.
Normally, the Larkin would hop over and sniff it when she did that. Today, she barely stirred, letting out a soft chirp.
I suppose we can catch up later, Talik said. For now, can I see her?
Rissen nodded, setting aside the tea and scooting over to scoop up the Larkin. Chiri Chiri batted her wings a few times, then settled down. Rissen held her so Talik could see, after pulling his chair around the table to settle down next to her.
I've shown her to many animal doctors, Rissen said, and they are baffled. Everyone thought the Larkin were extinct, if they'd even heard of one before.
Talik reached to carefully touch Chiri Chiri along the top of her head.
So big, he whispered. I had not realized.
What do you mean?
Rissen asked.
When Amir fell, he explained, the Na'alind, a family among the great shelled gods of the Reshi, took in the last of the Larkin. Great shells do not think or speak like people do, and the ways of our gods are strange. But best we can tell, there was a promise among them to protect these, their cousins. I have seen only two other Larkin. They were both decades old, but were small, no longer than a person's hand.
Chiri Chiri likes to eat, Rissen said. A lot. At least, she used to.
In ancient times, Larkin grew to larger sizes, Talik said. They're supposed to remain small these days, hidden, lest men hunt them again.
But what do I do? Rissen asked. How do I help her?
When we received your letter 3 days ago, Talik said, I wrote to those on the island. The king's consort approached Reluna. The answer is simple, Rissen, but not easy. Not easy at all.
What?
Talik met her eyes.
The island said, to take her home.
To the Reshi Isles? I suppose I can go for a visit. How did you get through the occupied territory? The long way around to the east?
She trailed off, seeing his grim expression.
Oh, by her home. You mean Amia? Well, that's not impossible. The Royal Navy has set up a few outposts on the main island.
Not the main island of Amir Rissen, Talik said. You need to take her to Akena, the lost city.
He shook his head.
It is an impossible voyage. No one has stepped foot on the island in generations.
Rissen frowned, stroking Chiri Chiri and thinking.
Akena? Hadn't she read that name recently?
She gestured to Talik, then set Chiri Chiri down and scooted back to her papers. She found what she was looking for a few minutes later.
Here,
she said, holding it so he could lean down beside her and read. He didn't ascribe to Vorin prohibitions on that, and, well, neither did Rissen, for all the fact that she wore a glove these days without complaint. A ghost ship was discovered by a Thalen military vessel some 2 months ago. Officials had traced it back to a voyage to the semi-mythical city of Akena. The queen of Urithiru, Navani Kolin, had put out a request for another ship to travel to Amia and investigate a certain region. A strange storm, where the ruins of Akena were rumored to be found. Queen Navani promised a reward to those who were willing, but so far none had taken up the offer. Rissen looked to Talik, who nodded encouragingly. It seemed that Rissen needed to pay a visit to Urethiru.